Welcome everyone to a new episode of The Tap. I'm your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
Well, because we both had scheduling conflicts over the last couple of days, we actually have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT today. We're actually not covering AEW Dynamite because that was not on last night.
Yeah, luckily for once, I'm saying we're not covering AEW just because we have so much other stuff.
Well, we'll be covering all that on Monday because AEW Dynamite is going to be on Saturday, which I'm actually just going to quickly go ahead and take a couple of quick notes. AEW Rampage and Dynamite both are going to be Friday and then Saturday this week, and they are huge shows that they are putting on. And to kind of go back to what we were saying about how SmackDown was going to try to compete against AEW Rampage this week by doing a half hour after and doing commercial free, AEW upped the ante. They are actually putting Bobby Fish versus Moriarty Lee on a on a pre-show on YouTube, and Bryan Danielson versus what the heck is his name? It's the legend. It's the Japanese legend.
Oh, Suzuki.
Suzuki.
I forgot who he is facing. I know Suzuki.
Minoru Suzuki. Sorry.
Yep. Minoru Suzuki.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe I blanked on his name. Minoru Suzuki.
I just remember. Come on. He's one of the three most famous car companies in all of Japan. You can remember his name.
Oh, boy. So those are going to be on a pre-show on YouTube before Rampage actually starts to now compete even further with SmackDown. Yeah. So we're not even getting just a half hour show where they're competing. We're getting an hour essentially of them competing head to head, even though it won't be on broadcast TV. It's going to be on YouTube.
It will be on YouTube, but what's very smart is nowadays, you know, a lot, especially the younger audience that AEW skews towards, a lot of them get a lot of their wrestling content on YouTube and stuff like that. A lot of them don't watch the shows live. And if they do, they're DVRing it as we do, you know, and which you tell me you do a lot. So like, it's not like they're, it's not as big of a, like, I feel like they're going to get a lot of views on it. I feel like they'll still get less because if I wasn't like an engaged wrestling fan, I wouldn't know that that was even happening. But if you watch YouTube, you know it's happening, and you have wrestling in your newsfeed because you know that, you know, YouTube likes to bring up like-minded stuff that's in the news that's going on. So you had to have heard about it by now because that's how I found it. So, it's interesting. It's cool. And they also have a fallback, you know, of them, you know, not doing so well by being like, oh, it's on YouTube. But I think it's smart to kind of use it as like a buy-in sort of thing that they're doing. They're like, listen, we're not telling you that, you know, this hour is going to be the greatest thing ever and it's going to be better than SmackDown or anything like that, but we're going to show you what we have. They're going to show you what they have, and then if you want to come in on that last half hour of SmackDown and watch some real wrestling, then here it is. I feel like that's what they're saying. And and Tony Khan, like, it's been all over all week now that Tony Khan, ever since, did you hear, you know, that he said Raw sucked?
Yeah, I heard that too.
I watched the interview too. He literally did. He asked the guy, he goes, well, you know, Raw sucked. And he's like, well, I don't know. And he's like, oh, did you watch it last night? And he's like, no, I didn't. But he's like, but what did you hear about it? And he's like, yeah, it kind of sucked. And he was like, yeah, see, it sucks. It was very, very funny. It was really cool. Like, because everybody, if they were in Tony Khan's shoes, would have been saying that the WWE sucks and all that.
It does. But
like, yeah. No,
I mean, we're gonna cover all of it in just a minute, but
yeah,
I mean,
he acknowledges that he actually watches though, because he watched the show. That's why he has the ability as a fan to say, listen, it sucks.
Well, let's kind of just keep on this conversation for just a moment. I mean, yeah. WWE, there's been the report that high-ranking officials in WWE are actually watching the AEW shows on monitors.
They all watch AEW shows.
Well, they're scouting it as competition, and then also at the same time, so they're doing that, and then they're trying to leak information about AEW Rampage and everything like that to discredit and kind of put them under, under their thumb type of thing. So, I mean,
who is this, John Laurinaitis and Bruce Pritchard?
It didn't specify who did it, but people within WWE are leaking information about AEW prior to, I forgot what it was specifically, but it was like information regarding like Rampage and stuff like that out.
That's all right. You know, it happens. There's nothing you can really do about them leaking things. You could just try to work around it as best you can, or use it to your advantage, much like Vince did himself back in the late 90s with the Mankind winning the world title.
Well, that was Bischoff, yeah.
No, I know, but that's what happens. All AEW can do is use anything that's said about them against, WWE, rather than just letting it exactly happen the way that they say it. So I think it's fine. I don't think it matters. I think that just shows that they're scared. And it's a different locker room this time. Most of the guys and girls in the back have friends in the other company. You know, they don't really care. They're happy for their friends, and when their contract's up, they're probably gonna go join them. So they don't really mind it. It's not like the same mindset as WCW back then. For the higher ups, it is.
No, but I feel like it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like it's the reverse. I feel like that WWE is starting to make the same mistakes that WCW made.
Yes,
WCW was trying so hard to like put WWE out of business, and now WWE is making those same mistakes against AEW. And it's like AEW has only been around for 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
Like, how desperate are you that a company that's been around for about 50 years and have demolished the competition over time, that you're now this desperate to put the squeeze on a company that's been only open for 2 years?
Well, that's the thing, though. Only in wrestling do we think time around is a good thing, because if you think about it, what's older, Coca-Cola or Red Bull? Coca-Cola is older, but what do more kids drink nowadays? They drink Red Bull.
Well, because it's Red Bull was the energy
wings.
Drink.
It's because it gives you wings. And no, this it also is not tastes like gasoline. Red Bull. No, I know. Yeah. To older people.
But,
sorry.
Oh, really? Really?
I'm just kidding. All right.
I might be older, but I could still whoop your ass, man. Right.
So it's funny, though, is my only point was, is that with most newer companies, they just basically take all the footwork that somebody did 50 years earlier and then they do it better.
So it's. But Tony Khan's
been around for 2 years. A lot of people are using as an excuse to be like, oh, it's not they're not a viable threat or anything like that. But no, there's the backing. It's like, like World War II, when Germany just comes out of nowhere and they have this huge military power that they were hiding. Like, AEW's got a big backer. They got $1 billion backer. Same thing.
That is not a good comparison, man.
No, I don't know, that man. Is not a good I couldn't comparison. Think of something. And not, hey, I didn't say anything about like what they did.
I know, but that was just a bad comparison.
Hey, man. Hey, it's history. Like, Jesus, leave it alone.
All right,
well, I don't, well, Nobody likes
any which way. Let's get into the specifics of why Tony Khan also mentioned why Raw sucked. We're going to first start off with SmackDown and lead into Monday Night Raw at that point.
Yep.
So SmackDown itself was just garbage. And I really don't understand why they did this. So they open up the show doing a Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, and Becky promo for a contract signing, which the contract never even gets signed.
No, later in the night.
Well, in this segment, I'm saying.
Okay.
In this segment.
They never do.
No.
Well, and
no,
if they do, it's the a big John Cena splash.
No, they always end up doing a contract signing. And this contract usually does get signed during it, but there's always some sort of altercation.
There's always a broken table.
Right. So we open up and you have Sasha Banks standing on top of the announce table, Bianca Belair standing in the ring next to a table, and then you have Becky Lynch with a table out by the ramp with her feet up on it. And it was just a very awkward promo between the three, and I keep feeling like when it comes to Becky, they don't know what the heck to do with her, because every single time I turn around, it's like she's either pandering to the crowd or trying way too hard to act like a heel that gives go away heat instead of actual like heel heat. And it's just like,
because they don't know what they're doing.
They really don't have any plan or really any clue of what to do with Becky Lynch. Right now I feel like that they're trying to scramble to get the title either swapped with Charlotte Flair or her drop the title to Sasha Banks at Crown Jewel next week. Either way, I feel like that they're just trying to rush to get to the post-draft. Like once everyone's on their actual brands, I think that they're rushing to get to that point.
Yeah. And also,
everything else just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. My other option I was thinking was that that Becky ends up holding both belts again by having a champion versus champion for winner take all Charlotte versus Becky at Survivor Series. That was the other thing I was thinking of.
No,
it would have to build to that. It would have to build that. No, I foresee it because
not at Survivor Series. It would be at WrestleMania.
No, it would have to be at Survivor Series, because then when are they going to fight each other? How are they going to feud on two separate brands?
Well, the same way that they always end up doing, some BS rule that comes into play that allows somebody to go onto a different show.
Listen, guys, this is the guy coming from the guy where I go, why is Sasha Banks the only one? Like, why is she standing on the announce table? Because she's the boss.
That's the way she's trying to portray it.
With your logic, no. If she was the boss, she'd be sitting up in a nice comfy chair with a table in front of her like Becky Lynch, not borrowing the free announce table that nobody even gave her.
But she's trying, the way that they look, the way that for the symbolism of this.
The commentators were still commentating. Bianca Belair was still higher up than she was.
But the symbolism is that everyone is under her feet. Everyone else is beneath her.
Adam Pearce or Sonya Deville, they were higher up than her.
No, they would have had to have done like a pedestal. They're trying to, the way that it was broken down, in my opinion, with the symbolism is Becky Lynch has her own table. She has a bigger like table than everyone else. She is like, she's dressed like outlandishly. She's the champion there. Like that's the symbolism for it, is that she is on a much different level, a bigger, badder level than everyone else.
Are you sure they didn't put that table there just so that she could flip it at the end of her promo and look cool?
Yes, I know. But this is,
do you think WWE thought this deeply into it as you are right now?
You might.
I don't think that they did.
Well, here's the thing, is you may end up having some writer in there that whoever came up with this concept.
That did think of it this way, to try and make it make sense in their own head, because they can't take the nonsense of it all. Yes, I understand.
So now
I understand
Bianca,
where you're coming from. I get what you think, that if they were going for something, that that's what they were going for. Right. I hope so. But also I just want to say about the Bianca Belair, her music was playing like she had come out last. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Her music was playing when the show started, like she had come out last. Becky's table.
I didn't say that their production in front
of the whole. All right. Well, I was just saying in front of the whole ramp is Becky's table and Becky. If Bianca came out last, how is she like? Because her whole promo is basically about, oh, you guys are like, get in the ring. Come on, I'll fight you guys right now. Like at the end of her promo. And it's like, well, didn't you walk past her on the way out? And you would just started fighting with her like on the way out to the ring because
you would just think
right there.
You would think.
And you would think, how are they all going to sign the contract anyway if they're all in three separate spaces? What was Adam Pearce going to walk the contract over to each of them? That would have taken 10 minutes out of the show.
Probably. Like, he's WWE's little bitch anyway, so.
Yeah.
But no, here's the way I kind of view the rest of the symbolism for this. And again, it's my opinion for it of why it could be true. It could be that I'm just reading too much into
fine.
It.
It's fine.
The Sasha Banks being on top of the announce table is basically like, I'm here. I'm special. I'm like, everyone else is beneath me because I'm the boss. That's the way
I love Sasha. I want her to win the title.
I don't really like Sasha. That's
she's never been my favorite, but
she's a great competitor. Don't get me wrong.
She's always like you know what, how I'll describe her? She is, no matter what, she's always the sting of her brand. And what I mean by that is she's the number two. She's the top number two around.
Yeah.
She's always number two.
I would agree with that.
Always below Becky or below Charlotte. Yeah.
Or even below Bayley.
Yeah. Or below Alexa Bliss even.
Yeah.
But like what I'm saying is she's the number two to the champion always. She's like the main challenger, but never quite good as the champion. I like her in the chase for the title though. I think she's pretty good as not as a baby face. No, as her like tweener self that she is right now.
I like her. And then finally, like the symbolism for me when it comes to Bianca was her being in the ring was basically, in my opinion, it's showing like, hey, I'm a normal person. Like I am like not like normal person, but like I don't view myself as anything different than who I am. Like I say I'm the EST. It's because like I can back it up, but I don't view myself as being better. Like on a different level, like on a pedestal above Becky Lynch. I don't put myself on a pedestal above Sasha Banks. Here I am. I'm in the ring. I don't need anything to be special. I am special, just me.
Yeah.
Except that's the way that's the way I view it. Anyway. Exactly. She doesn't
the way I viewed it. Yes. But the way I viewed it is that as that may have been what they were trying to convey, but it conveyed the opposite because she was in the highest part of the stage. And she was in the highest part of the stage with the spotlight directly on her, which is where it is in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't help singing during this segment, stuck in the middle with you. I just felt like she's just stuck in the middle, like of this feud, like this whole thing started out about her being champion. And we had said it the whole time during her title run that it was very flat and like not a lot went on. It was just her challenging challengers.
Yeah.
Like, and them being like, duh, of course I'll fight you for the title. So like she's now become like the middle character sort of in this feud. Like, yeah, Sasha was inserted and really has had no business there in the first place. But because Sasha's, you know, usually well liked by fans and whatever for her wrestling ability and such. And Becky Lynch, I don't know why people are still cheering her. I guess the same people that are dumb enough to buy tickets to SmackDown and Raw, but I don't know. It just feels weird because until actually this kind of promo, it felt like she was the third wheel, like in a feud that was just waiting to kick her out, you know. But now I kind of feel like she has, she's got like my backing sort of again, where I feel like she's got a little more.
I'm waiting to see what they're going to do with her when it comes to the Raw.
Yeah.
Any which way.
She's going to be the top challenger for whoever the champion is for a little bit. And then I don't know. They'll probably
Think that they're going to swap the titles off between Charlotte and Becky at this point.
Yeah,
I think they're just going to hand them over to each other. I think it's going to be some BS thing like that.
Yep.
All right, really quick, before we get into the King of the Ring piece of everything, the only other noteworthy item from SmackDown was Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman's promo, where basically Roman Reigns made Paul Heyman go on record stating that, you know, Roman Reigns is going to be the one to destroy Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman used to go on the record stating how much that he protested and predicted that, like, Brock Lesnar was going to be the one to end the Undertaker streak, and he did. But now Paul Heyman is going out there and stating that that Roman Reigns is going to be the one to end Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and basically that, you know, he's not aligned with Brock Lesnar and whatever, which he never directly even answers Roman's question. And at a point after he stops talking, you think Roman's going to be like, yeah, but like, answer the question directly, Paul. Yeah. Like, but he never does. And it's just like, okay, fine. And you know what, to me, it makes it, they may think that they're throwing you off the scent, but it makes me think that he is actually going to turn on him with Brock Lesnar, because it's just, he never directly answered the question. He just Paul Heyman'd his way out of it. And like,
he always does.
Yeah. But that's just such a, he's like, why would I do that? Why, when it would make you the most vulnerable, your manager just suddenly leaving you against your biggest challenger ever. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Here's my one thing. Here's my one thing. What if it's not Paul Heyman who invited Brock Lesnar to SummerSlam? What if it's not, you know, what if it is somebody else who's behind all of it?
The Undertaker.
No.
Imagine, because
Jimmy Uso.
Yeah, why Jimmy Uso?
Because remember, there's supposed to be, from my understanding, that there's supposed to end up being the split between the Usos and Roman and everything like that, where Jey Uso and Roman were going to be on one side and Jimmy and Rock are going to end up being on the opposite side. So what if it's all because of Jimmy Uso that this is happening?
Yeah. If he made the call, because he kind of just sort of fell in line all of a sudden. One week he was just sort of, all right, Now they're cool again.
So like, exactly. Sudden, so yeah. I mean, it's a strong possibility for this to happen. I'm not saying that it is, but who's to say it's not?
That's pretty cool. That's a cool idea.
All right, let's get into,
not for WrestleMania, but like the Rumble.
Maybe, but we'll see what happens with it all. Let's get into the mix between the two brands, Raw and SmackDown, by discussing the King of the Ring tournament that kicked off for both the women and the men.
All right, so the Queen's Crown. Now let's move on to the men. That's about how long WWE took. That's about how long they took for the women's matches. Seriously.
So, and realistically, yeah. I mean, here are my things. So first off, you had Zelina Vega advancing. Who did Zelina Vega go against? She went against Liv, right?
No, Carmella faced Liv.
Oh, Carmella faced Liv. Who did? Zelina beat Toni Storm, right?
Oh yeah, beat Toni Storm.
Yeah, she beat Toni Storm. Carmella beats Liv Morgan.
Why?
Both of them. I don't understand why.
Yeah, both of them. Liv.
And they were short matches.
And they were about a minute and a half, 2 minutes each. I believe the Liv Morgan and Carmella actually bell ring starting to end was literally a minute and a half.
Yeah.
It's horrible, especially because Liv, despite WWE, is getting over somehow. Despite WWE, she's gaining fans by the week because people are seeing her genuine improvement and trying to just be the best that she could possibly be, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I like Liv Morgan. I'm a fan because I saw her back when she was in NXT and she was a New Jersey backwards hat, like sort of wannabe gangster kind of gimmick. It was weird. Yeah, I remember her all the way back then, all the way up till now. She's a much more complete wrestler, and she's like more, she's more herself.
I would have rather have seen her get the advance in the tournament over Carmella. I don't feel like, first off, Carmella needs it, but at the same time,
Liv this needs this it, tournament exactly.
This tournament in general, I feel like, is, first off, my prediction is that Shayna Baszler is winning it.
Of course, I
that's,
think
that's my prediction.
I think SmackDown's irrelevant. Yeah.
Right, but I feel like the other thing about this, so Shayna Baszler advances over Dana Brooke, and then Doudrop advances over Natalya.
Which we knew because the week before, as soon as these matches were announced, we knew this because they had a little altercation the week before where Doudrop saved whoever Shayna was breaking
the arm. Here's my one thing for this is that you literally have three heels and one babyface in this. And two of the heels have been aligned with each other for what? The last couple, like 2 months or 3 months or something like that now, and being Zelina Vega and Carmella. Yeah. They have to face each other now.
Oh, no, that never happens. They're not going to mention that at all.
No, of course not. And then you have Doudrop and Shayna Baszler who are going to go. So you're going to have a heel-heel most likely in the finals. Yeah. A heel versus heel in the finals. Or if some miracle happens and Doudrop ends up getting the win on this one, then obviously Doudrop would end up winning. And that's the only way it would be babyface-heel for the finals. Which doesn't make any sense. Either way, I feel like it's going to be a squash for somebody on Raw. Well, one of the two people from Raw to win this.
Well, I'm feeling it's got to be Shayna Baszler because it doesn't matter if it's, for me, if it's Shayna Baszler versus Carmella or Zelina Vega, it doesn't matter.
It's going to be a squash match no matter what.
Yeah, but everyone's going to root for Shayna Baszler, even though she's technically the heel. Because people are going to want to see her snap the arm of Zelina Vega or Carmella. No offense, Zelina Vega or Carmella.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly,
point of a wrestling show.
Out of those four that are remaining, I would have rather Zelina Vega actually get the Queen's Crown tournament win. But
no, I want to see her in the final get her arm snapped by Shayna Baszler. That's what I want to see. I want to see her cry to Shayna Baszler. That's what I want to see. That's what's interesting to me. But yeah,
you sadistic motherfucker.
Hey, well, that's the point of wrestling. Like, that's literally before kayfabe was known by the rest of the world to be a thing. You know, that's the way it was. Yeah, kill him.
Yeah, like, I remember.
You know, so yeah, now, we know you do, Grandpa.
Yeah. I'm just
you're setting me up.
Don't make me take this thousand-mile. Don't make me take this thousand-mile trip back up to New York just to whoop you. All right. I will throw you over my car and put you in the Texas clover leaf like I used to do to you and PJ and his friends.
No, don't do that. PJ put me in the walls of Jericho when I was a kid and I still haven't recovered fully.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the men's division of the King of the Ring tournament. We had Sami Zayn getting the win over Rey Mysterio because
little
of
shocking.
A little bit. Well, I was more shocked that Rey Mysterio was actually competing, but Dominic being the reason why Rey Mysterio got distracted fits still into the fact that they're going to break up Rey and Dominic.
It's just Rey literally means king. He's the king of mystery. That's why it was just a shock to me.
Yeah. And then Balor getting the win over Cesaro, which I was very sad to see Cesaro lose in this one.
And Cesaro, I feel like, is always in, like, the last couple of brackets whenever they've done King of the Ring. Like, I feel like Cesaro is, like, always in the running for King of the Ring, but never, like, makes it past the first round. Like, it's like, kind of messed up, really.
Yeah. And I mean, not for nothing, but he's the king of swing. So, I mean, what the
hell? Yes, I know. I love this. This is what I love, though, about this year is that they put a lot of people in that are literally, like, their gimmick.
A king or queen.
King. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, Shayna Baszler is the queen of spades, you know?
Yeah, of course. And obviously, if Charlotte wasn't the champion, you could have had the queen. She's just the queen. It's very
Exactly. Going over to the Raw side of things, we had Jinder Mahal advancing over Kofi Kingston, and then Xavier Woods advancing over Ricochet, which, my opinion, that and Balor versus Cesaro were the two matches out of both tournaments, Demon which was King, the best.
Demon King. Yep. Also, Ricochet used to be Prince Puma and and goes by the moniker of King Ricochet, which was a pre-established thing. They didn't just come up with that.
No, it was pre-established,
Yeah. So it's very funny that they have all these there's so many
yeah. Kingdoms. But we're gonna be seeing the next rounds finish on SmackDown and Raw this coming week. And so then
who do you got on the SmackDown side? Who do you think, Finn Balor or
I think somehow Sami Zayn's gonna pull out this win.
I kind of hope he does. I think he really needs it more than anybody, even though I want Xavier Woods to win the crown. I think a nice Sami Zayn to the finals would be good for him.
Yeah. So. But I think the finals should be Xavier Woods versus Sami Zayn, with Xavier Woods getting the win.
Yeah, I agree.
And then when it comes to the women's division, my prediction is going to be Shayna Baszler versus Carmella, actually, with Shayna Baszler taking the win.
I think it's going to be Carmella too, because the only thing I was shocked is, like, first of all, Toni Storm's new to the roster, and it's like, if you're trying to put her over, like, she should have won her match. Secondly, like,
did she even get drafted?
Yes, she technically did. Yes. Either way, they had been saying, like, coming soon to SmackDown for like 3 months before that. So,
yeah,
like,
but that didn't matter because
now she was on the show. Let's not get into the details.
All right. Give me your predictions.
Well, okay. Anyway, it's gonna be Shayna Baszler, I think, versus I think Selena Vega would be, like, I don't know. I think she's more of a better actor, squirmier heel. That I would like to see Shayna break the arm of. Not really, but, like,
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? The finisher, whatever. Yeah. Breaking the arms back and whatever. I think it's going to be that. And then, yes, please, for the love of God, because it's supposed to be a crown jewel, I swear to God, if Jinder Mahal beats Xavier Woods, we're going to all riot. Yeah, Xavier Woods beating Sami Zayn. That's the way I want it. And yeah, Shayna beating. You know what? I have no faith that what my point of the Toni Storm thing was, that I was shocked that they gave Zelina a win, because I don't think that she's, like, won, like, at all since.
I think that was like her second. I think that was her second win ever.
Literally. Yeah. And I think one of them might have even been a tag match. So yeah. I'm gonna go. Yeah, Carmella, they're probably going to put in there, is probably what they're going to do. So,
all right, let's move over to Monday Night Raw as a whole now. First off, I'm going to kind of go out of order with things a little bit. They completely are moving forward with splitting up Mansoor and Ali. They end up losing the tag match to Hurt Business. Yeah, they lose the tag match to Hurt Business, and then backstage you had Ali just beating the heck out of Mansoor. Now that match is being put on the Crown Jewel card, which I really have no faith in this card. I don't even want to watch the pay-per-view next week.
It's on
Thursday afternoon too, which is even worse.
Yeah, it's thrown together at the last minute whenever the Saudi prince goes, I want to see wrestling, put on a show next week. And they're like, okay, what do we got, guys? King,
let's just go ahead and
King
put
of the Ring there. Tournament. Yeah. Where's those Indian guys we got? Let's put them on the show.
It's basically taking, like, the teenage version of the Saudi prince and basically catering to, like, that side of him, because the only people he's caring about is, like, Goldberg and wanting to see The Undertaker and wanting to see Shawn Michaels and Triple H, wanting to see Hell in a Cell. He wanted to see a Royal Rumble there. Like, and now he wants the King of the Ring there. Like, it's ridiculous.
Just put into perspective for everybody. This is the same guy that, when first in talks with Vince McMahon, said that could he get Yokozuna and Andre the Giant, who have been dead for over 20 years. Come on.
I know.
Like, they don't, these shows are made for people that are getting currently right now, they think it's live TV and it's 1999 Monday Night Raw, and they think that they're watching it live for the first time.
Speaking of which, when it comes to things, and I'm literally just going to mention it and move on, is Bobby Lashley had a promo targeting Bill Goldberg. That's it.
I wouldn't even remember it.
That's all I'm saying about it.
Go ahead.
Then we had Drew McIntyre and Big E having a promo at the very beginning, which Big E made absolutely no sense in his promo. And even Drew McIntyre was like, I don't understand what this has to do with your nipples, but okay. And literally that was like, that was more or less the extent of the conversation with them before the Usos came out to kind of save a little bit of that opening segment.
Yeah.
And then the Usos attacking Big E and Drew McIntyre, setting up a match for later on in the show.
So I understand why other people are allowed to be on other brands right now, because they were previously on that brand.
Mm-hmm.
The Usos have always been on SmackDown.
Right.
But I guess because the Tribal Chief, even though the Tribal Chief had to ask Paul Heyman to get them drafted to SmackDown, but yet the Tribal Chief has the power to put them on Raw this week. That doesn't make any sense. All right.
Supposedly, from what I'm hearing, is the Tribal Chief is going to be on a Monday Night Raw in November, which is way after the draft.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about.
Well, it's supposed to be the week after the draft ends, and I forgot the reason why this is. There's like a specific reason for it.
I don't know.
Something
it's gonna
to
be
AEW.
It's gonna be in it's basically they're going to the UBS or USB, whatever, I don't know, something venue that's on Long Island. I guess that they're trying to show
up. That's right. Yeah. This is why. Okay. So they're on that show the week before AEW. Okay. AEW has it the following week, and AEW has triple the ticket sales that they have right now. They're doing terrible for their ticket sales for that show.
I mean,
right
honestly,
now.
They showed what
Roman
was like,
Reigns for it.
They showed like what seats were available when it came to Monday Night Raw. And there was like half the freaking crowd.
Half of the AEW tickets were already gone last month when I looked at them, when they like first went up, because I looked at them already for their show that they're having the following week, because it's around my birthday.
But going back into this whole thing with the Usos, and it's actually a point that I wanted to make.
They replayed
when it comes
this like
to,
eight times too throughout the night.
They did.
Just saying,
but
it was so bad.
I stopped counting all those because it was just making me more and more frustrated. But just to kind of put this along with the women's tag team match that ended up being on Monday Night Raw, where they put Charlotte and Becky against Sasha and Bianca, which was a ridiculous fight as well. But both matches, and they were almost like not back to back, but like they had a couple segments in between them.
Yep.
But like both matches were people that don't get along.
How can they coexist?
How can they coexist? And they all break down and start fighting each other. You had literally Bianca, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky all beating the heck out of each other to the point where it was a no contest. Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce come out, restart the match, and force them to compete again anyway.
Only for it to be a no contest again.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. And then you finally have the Usos versus McIntyre and Big E, where McIntyre and Big E just start beating the heck out of each other and get counted out.
Yeah, you hear throughout the show that's the Usos' plan. That's Roman Reigns' plan, is to get them to start fighting each other so that it softens them up for when Drew comes to SmackDown and when Roman has to face Big E at Survivor Series. I get that. I know the match.
I'm saying
like,
the booking.
I don't, yeah.
I'm
yeah,
saying the booking and for entertainment value of it, that it made no sense. And honestly, it pissed me off to the point where I was just like, I fast forwarded through it because I had no desire whatsoever to watch.
Listen, let me tell you, wasn't that interesting. It wasn't interesting. It's all right that you did. What I did find interesting was the, I enjoyed that for 90%, though, of the women's match, that Charlotte Flair actually wasn't involved. Charlotte Flair sat there and just laughed and just kind of hung out and kind of had the same. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Had the same expression that we would all have on our face if we were standing there. Like, hey, guys, yeah, I'm in the match, too. Yeah, you guys want to know? Okay, I'll just hang out over here. You know, that I enjoyed about it, about Charlotte's character, that she kind of acknowledges that she's like in the background of this, and that, you know, she's, you know, going to just let them do their thing. But then, nope, once one of them hits her, then she puts them all down, which I love. I hate, you know, that I'm probably more into Charlotte Flair than I've ever been, and they're doing so little with her.
That's what sometimes it needs, you know? Less is more sometimes.
Yeah, you know, but it's like they're doing, like, I want her to be in an actual storyline.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's not doing anything. What a terrible time for you to take a, you know, sabbatical or whatever it's called, Alexa Bliss. Like, come on, man. Like,
finish. Well, she had it. She had it.
Yeah, I know.
She had to have the surgery, but I think she's going to be coming back, and she's going. I don't know what the heck they're going to end up doing with that, because they're actually on two separate brands, I think, now. So we'll find out with all that. I'm hoping for a Becky Lynch Alexa feud at that point, but
might not even have the same gimmick. But that's a story for another time.
But let's move into NXT because now we still have that show to get through.
It wasn't much.
two of my notes actually pretty much coincide with each other. So first off, you had Ciampa getting the win over Joe Gacy, preventing him from being added into the NXT title match for Halloween Havoc. But the point that I wanted to make for that is Ciampa comes out of the ring and Harland attacks Ciampa, and when Gacy comes over, Harland grabs Gacy by the throat, and then he just kind of strokes the side of Harlan's face, and he lets,
like,
him go.
Dad? No, yeah. he might as well have been. He looked at him like, "Daddy," and then he was like, "All right, I'm just gonna let you go and walk away now."
But this was just like weird, and I was just like, "This was ridiculous." And kind of stupid. And I know that it's going to end up being with Harland eventually going with Joe Gacy, but I mean, it's just like, at this point, I'm like,
there was no point to the match either, because it was literally a squash. I think I counted Gacy successfully did two moves and then was countered and missed two moves, and all of the offense otherwise was Ciampa, and then he won.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But then kind of going back into through all this, you have backstage, you had Ciampa, you know, going on to bring up and discuss his upcoming match, and, you know, with Braun, and you have grizzled young veterans who get in his way and kind of start talking to him. And then here comes Braun Breaker to back up Tommaso Ciampa, and he's just like, "I got your back until we have to, you know, until we wrestle each other." He's like, "I'm gonna make sure nothing happens to you." And I'm just like, dude, this is Tommaso Ciampa. Like,
yeah, he doesn't him seem like such a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but like, God, like, I don't like that. Ciampa is supposed to be tough.
Like, no, it feels like they're burying Ciampa more and more, like every time you turn around.
And the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think it had nothing to do with money, and they just released Braun Strowman, even though it's spelled differently, just because they knew that they were going to push this guy, Braun Breaker.
Probably.
And they wanted him to have the name Braun, and they were like, "We can't have two Brauns," you know?
Getting into the next topic, was the whole women's division and women's titles. Toxic Attraction made it known earlier in the night that they are going after all the women's championships.
With the most generic promo ever. I mean, Mandy Rose is okay, but like the other two girls are just robotic.
There's still two
promos. Yeah, I know.
Still two, but you had Indy Hartwell and some random person that
Priscilla.
They put, yeah, something like that. They end
that's
up getting
her,
the win.
That's supposed to be her best friend.
Yeah, they get the win. or like later on in
somebody
the night.
Somebody say Iconics Light?
Pretty much. And basically they make it known that they want a challenge for the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Io Shirai and Zoe Stark come out to basically a ridiculous promo. Out comes Toxic Attraction. And it's just, it all boils down and ends up breaking into a brawl with Zoe Stark and Io Shirai standing tall over everyone.
Which is funny because they're a makeshift team that has two teams that only have one win apiece as a tag team fighting as the number one contenders. And I was shocked. I was waiting for you to say, where's Casey Catanzaro and and Kaden Carter. I like, right? Like, yep. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. And I'm literally rushing through this because NXT was just otherwise garbage. At the beginning of the show, you had Top Dollar and B-Fab getting attacked and kidnapped by Legato, and then Swerve getting laid out.
And Ashanti's just not there.
Yeah, Ashanti's just missing like randomly. Yeah. You had actually then the main event match was Swerve versus Santos Escobar.
For the North American title,
we all figured that Santos Escobar was actually going to win this match. And you actually had Swerve get the win. And then thanks to help from Carmelo and Trick. Yeah. And then you see on the floor, I didn't notice it at first, but on the replay, you see it. The contract thing was out on the floor when Trick helped to take down Legato. And so that was there. And then you have them celebrating with Swerve only to lay him out, sign the contract, and then Carmelo Hayes becoming your new North American champion.
Yeah, what's hilarious is online I've been seeing, I don't know what these people are smoking, you people online, I'm sorry, but I'm going to just say, like, these are the same people that think that Hit Row is a good gimmick. We're like, yeah, wow, this is great and fresh. Best episode of NXT 2.0 so far. Carmelo Hayes, the guy with the rambling get off my TV heat guy that's like his muscle and no personality and looks like he just walked out of the performance center. This is the guy I want as my North American champion. Can I say Leon Ruff? Does that ring a bell to any of you guys? Because that's what he looks like to me. He's the same size. Yeah.
Well, actually, Swerve is bigger, but...
No, not Swerve. Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, Carmelo Hayes.
Carmelo Hayes is Leon Ruff.
No, I think Carmelo Hayes is still...
Oh, what? He's got 10 pounds? Oh, so what? He's still 170 pounds. Like, I'm bigger than him.
Dude, Leon Ruff puts the title on all the way and falls to the floor.
Well, regardless... Point is that not a fan of Carmelo Hayes. I don't get it. If that guy Trick says bout it one more time, I will slap him myself. Jesus Christ. I don't know. I do like that they had Swerve retain because it makes him look strong on the way out. There were people saying, oh, why would Hayes, it makes no sense. Why would Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams take out Legato to help Swerve? It's because they thought that Santos Escobar, as a contingency plan, if Santos Escobar won the match, they wanted to already have taken out the rest of Legato so that they could cash in on him.
Yep.
People are like, oh, why would he help? Why would they help, Swerve? They weren't helping Swerve. They were helping themselves.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, that's it. And the only other thing is I just feel bad for Santos Escobar because I feel like he's been consistently probably one of the best heels that they have on NXT the last few months, and they've been teasing forever this match, and I just felt like he was just snubbed on the North American title that I feel like he deserved because he worked his way up from the cruiserweight division, and I feel like he deserved it, but whatever. He's going to feud now with Carmelo Hayes, though.
Probably.
Definitely.
Well, we'll have to wait till next week to go ahead and find out more with that. And Monday's show, we will be going over AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, and quite possibly doing a preview of Crown Jewel, which, I mean, honestly, why bother? Because no one's going to watch it.
I mean, we might just tell you something that comes out of
just
it.
Do a prediction of it anyway.
Yeah.
We'll figure all that out. But then, until then, I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. And join us next time and find out what's on tap.